hope that we were able to instill in that conversation the importance of not only a trade relationship with Saskatchewan, but more broadly across Canada as well. And our urging is that we get back to the table and find our way there sooner rather than later. What is good for Saskatchewan is also good for Canada.
Scott Moe just back from a trip to Washington, again doing his part to build those relationships and try and ease some of the trade or tariff tension that exists between our two countries. Yet, as we all sadly know all too well, the clock is ticking and no agreement has been reached between the two countries yet. Thanks again to Corey Mace, the Saskatchewan Rough Rider head coach, for popping in off the start there. Great to have a conversation with the coach. I was laughing because I asked him the question about the interview that TSN CFL analyst Luke Wilson had done with Marshawn Lynch. I don't know if you caught that. Of course, Luke Wilson has a podcast. I think it was only the fifth episode. He had Marshawn Lynch on. He asked him on the podcast, who's your favorite Canadian teammate? Knowing that Luke Wilson was hoping Marshawn Lynch was going to say that Luke Wilson was, but his response was a little bit different.
You know, when I was in Buffalo, I got the opportunity to play with a guy, Corey Mace.
I'll tell you what, Corey Mace just won the Grey Cup yesterday.
I'm not ranking or nothing, but he was probably the first Canadian teammate that I had.
Damn, Coach Mace got me.
Man, I'm saying, because I was in Buffalo. He from right up the way. And, I mean, you know, we used to go up to, like I said, we used to go up to Canada all the time. And, you know what I mean? But he was a rare breed of Canadian.
He was a rare breed of Canadian. I like that. And we're seeing a couple of texts coming in on the text line saying, hey, maybe we're going to see beast mode coming to Ryderville. How about that? Marshawn Lynch in the stands at a Ryder game next year. I'm sure there'll be some sort of an effort, a concentrated lobby group to try and make something like that happen. Again, thanks to Corey Mace. If you missed it, as always, you can go back on the website, either cjme.com, ckom.com, and you can listen to it there. Or wherever you get your podcasts, you can always re-listen to segments of this show. Well, we are officially into open lines, 1-877-332-8255, whatever you would like to talk about. I'm happy to hear your thoughts. Give us a shout. Give us a text if you like. The text line has been busy this morning, mostly, of course, in response to having Coach Mace on. Lots of an effusive amount of love, I would say, for the coach on there. Many, many people not only happy that he's here coaching, but happy that he made the decision to live in our province, which he and his family do year round. He just mentioned this morning, dropped his son off at daycare and then heading to the office. Speaking of the office, Mosaic Stadium, right now, as we speak, a news conference is being held for the Vanier Cup, which just when you thought you're done with football, we're not. Vanier Cup is coming up on Saturday. First time ever in the history of the Vanier Cup that it's being held in Regina. And we've got a Saskatchewan team in the cup, which is great. The University of Saskatchewan Huskies later on the show. I've got a Regina-born player who plays for the U of S who will be joining us to talk a little bit about what the lead-up to the cup has been and what, of course, they're looking forward to in Saturday's game. Still tickets available if you want. And tickets, keep in mind, the most expensive ticket in the stands, general admission, I think is $20. It's 17 and under, maybe 10, and 5 and under free. So you want inexpensive, high-quality sports entertainment? This is a great option for you. Okay, I mentioned phone lines are open, and we can talk about whatever you would like. I did see a text here. Greg, where is that? Hi, Evan. I'm not sure if I heard correctly. The city of Regina is allowing manufactured homes going into any subdivision in the city. I do have concerns if this is what's decided. The same thing started happening at Moose Mountain Provincial Park, where they were allowing modular manufactured homes into cabin country. What ended up happening was the most common home is a 16 to 20 foot wide, 60 to 80 foot long, low pitched roof home. So basically it looks like a trailer and not a house. This is a long text. I won't read exactly every word that Greg says, but the point is, this is Greg and Esteban, by the way. The point is, what Greg is saying is a concern that I've seen since this decision was made, this decision actually just made here in the last day or so by City Council, allowing manufactured homes, basically changing the city's zoning bylaws in Regina to allow for manufactured homes in all residential zones. You know, I was just talking with a coworker earlier who said many different areas, and I'm not an expert on, you know, the regulations of different areas of the city, but if you take the Greens in Regina, they have some standard guidelines, restrictions in some cases when it comes to roof height, driveways. Like, there's a variety of things, and quite often they're unique to the different areas of the city. Each city might have its own, and I think in some of the more newer areas, the newer subdivisions, you see that more and more common. So I don't know how this new law will butt up against that. I do know, and I've heard Mayor Chad Baczynski saying people's view of what now are called manufactured homes needs to be updated, because many people, when they think about manufactured homes, they're thinking about kind of the old style trailer mobile homes. The mayor's point was manufactured homes today can look a lot different, although there is still that element of they are a transportable structure. You think about how even RTMs are made and look, there's a fairly significant difference in their look. So those people that are worried about property values, this is the mayor's point. He thinks it's a little bit premature, and there's not necessarily any sort of report that will show that it will have a negative effect on assessed values in neighborhoods. That said, this is gaining some traction online. This is something that people want to talk about, and if you're one of those, that's what this time is for. Just like Greg and Estevan, give us a text. Give us a call, 1-877-332-8255. I'm happy to hear from you. Okay, let's get on to the phone lines. I know I've got a lot of calls coming in. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's start with the Riders, just because we had Coach Mace on, and Shane, I think, is wanting to start there. Shane, you're still pretty pumped up after that win, aren't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am, Mr. Bray. And guess what?
What?
My favorite memory of 1989 was when my grandmother and I were living at Snowberry Downs in Saskatoon that year. And this feels like I'm a six-year-old again, but now that I'm 42 years old, these many years later, this is even better. And I tell you, Evan, there's nothing more better than this Grey Cup. And let me tell you, this eases the Blue Jays' loss a lot. and guess what,
Evan? Same.
And guess what, Evan?
What?
I am still so happy about this Rider win.
And I would
like to say, if the Blue Jays can do it again in 1992-93, so can we. But in 1989, that year was awesome. But this is better than that year. And my final word to you is, Rider Nation, yay! I love you, Evan Bray.
Well, listen, we love you too, Shane. Thanks so much for reviving that little bit of, you know, it's funny because Shane brings up the Toronto Blue Jays. I think there were a lot of people that not only were stinging from the Blue Jays loss, but felt a little bit gun shy going into the Grey Cup. I saw that chatter on social media saying, gosh, you know, obviously want the Riders to win, but feeling a little bit stung by that devastating loss for the Jays. So I think Shane captured it very well. Okay, let's go to Weyburn, Saskatchewan next. Always appreciate chatting with Jason. Thanks for calling in. Fighter jets, is that what's on your mind today?
Fighter jets. Now, I'm not an expert, but I've done a lot of reading on fighter jets. I know quite a bit. I love them. I think they're the greatest thing that we've ever made, though I know they're for a destructive purpose. I'm going to tell everybody right now, the Gripen is a bad idea, folks. It's a capable plane. I'm not saying it's not a good plane, but it's a fourth-generation plane. Its main designs come from the 1970s. It is not a fifth-generation plane, and it is not stealth. And has anyone here ever heard of the J-20? That is the Chinese stealth plane, and they are making them, and they're making them really well. The J-20 is probably just about as good as the F-35, and I'm telling you, folks, right now, it's a lot better than the Gripen. When the Chinese put planes over our sovereign airspace in the Arctic, and they will, we have to be able to go up there and meet them on equal footing. Otherwise, we're doing what we always do, which is open our hat, take our hat off, and say, America, come please help us.
So do you think then, are you a supporter of us fulfilling the contract with the states on the F-35s?
Yes.
That's the way to go?
Yes. And now we also, I mean, yes, everyone's mad at Donald Trump right now. I get it. Okay? But this is going to, this fighter plane is going to be Canada's fighter plane for the next 30 to 40 years. I will probably be an old, gray, grumpy man by the time this thing is retired. We can't make a decision now with anger based on Donald Trump for something that's going to impact us 10, 20 years from now when the Chinese and Russians fly over our airspace, and they will.
Do you think, Jason, that, you know, part of the sweetening of the pot on this deal with Saab from Sweden is that they are saying, we're going to give you the ability to bring over some of the technological rights, some of the manufacturing, and do this right in Canada. That probably sounds attractive. Should that play into this, or is that a bit of a red herring in all of this?
It's a red herring, but also, I don't know if you know this, F-35 parts are built in Canada.
Yes.
The parts are built on every single country that helped build that plane. We put money into it in the 1990s under a liberal government, Jean Chrétien, and we helped build that plane. And now we're not going to take it? If we don't, the Saudis will. And we will put our Air Force in a position to be second rate going into the next 20 to 30 years, because that's how long this plane's going to serve. Canadians need to think a little more long term here.
And just this to clarify, Jason, before I let you go, you're not old, gray, and crusty yet.
No. 45.
Okay. I always appreciate your calls, Jason. Thanks so much. This will be a good one. The next time we get the former Canadian Chief of Defense Staff, Rick Hillier, on the program, who's a regular guest on this show, we get him on. I'd love to hear his thoughts on the F-35 versus these Gripen jets that are made in Sweden. Okay, let's take a break. Lots of people on the lines. I got Julian in Regina. I got Rick on the road. I got text pouring in. Your thoughts is what Open Lines is all about. 1-877-332-8255. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
It's making sure that we have 24/7 support for people. We have drastically dangerously cold winters for someone who's living outside. We need somewhere for them to go to be safe. This is about dignity, safety, and compassion. It's about ensuring that every resident of Regina has access to the supports they need. There's a whole continuum that we still need to work on, and we're constantly having those conversations now to see where those gaps are and what we need to do next. The trouble in
my dragon. That is Regina's mayor, Chad Baczynski, talking about the announcement made yesterday by the provincial government. $20 million on programming to address homelessness over the next 3 years. Predictable multi-year funding, support for municipalities, community-led initiatives. So a variety of ways in which they're trying to deal with that. The other topic, though, that's in the news is the decision that was made yesterday. A vote 8-3, by the way, was council vote on the decision to allow manufactured homes pretty much across the city. It was a change in the city's zoning bylaws to allow for manufactured homes in all residential zones in the city. Manufactured homes, by the way, and this, by the way, is the definition that the city uses, transportable structure placed atop the permanent frame or chassis designed to be transported on wheels and chassis or by other means. So that's under the Canadian Standards Association. That's the actual definition of it. Now, Mayor Chad Baczynski has been saying mobile homes, they look a lot different. Manufactured homes look a lot different today than they did yesteryear. So when you think of a mobile trailer court, for example, in some communities, and this is the reason why this is a discussion, because that Glen Elm trailer court down in Regina was one that basically was done away with. And so all of the residents, I think there was 170 that lived in that area, were displaced. Some of them moved right out of the city. But there are some people that don't like this idea. It's the back and forth I'm seeing on the text line here. And I actually want to jump back onto the phone and talk about this with Julian in Regina. Julian, thanks for joining the show. Your thoughts on this topic?
I'm all for it, Evan.
All for it?
Yep, because we had, okay, manufactured home is what you're supposed to say, not trailer.
Yeah.
But we had one out of Grandeur Industries out of Winkler, Manitoba. Anyways, that house, we bought it in 15. It was 2x6 wall, 3/8 outside, 3/8 inside for your siding. It was rock solid.
Yeah.
Had it, we lived in Melville, had it on screw piles in the ground, 80 click winds, and my 40 creek would not shake in the glass.
Mm-hmm. And you know, many people are saying this is basically like a manufactured home that just doesn't have a basement, right?
It doesn't have a basement. They're all built to CHAMC standards and whatever. They're RTM homes that you get today. They're just as good as the ticky-tack houses you get in a row when you go into these subdivisions. You can't go in there, and this is what I like about the old parts of Regina, is every house is different.
Mm-hmm.
They're not all ticky-tack, flip-flop down the road, and you all look the same. You can go into the wrong house with not even knowing you're in the wrong one. So,
all right, Julian. Well, I appreciate your thoughts and your perspective. I mean, it helps knowing someone like you who has had an experience with, actually bought and lived in one of these homes. It is a topic of discussion. It's one of many that are swirling around today. I want to go to Rick, who's on the road. You're going to take us in a bit of a different direction on topic today. What is it for you today, Rick?
I just found it funny that buddy yesterday from the airport there, the boss was saying, yeah, it's never been more affordable to fly and this and that, and everything's up and 30% over what we expected. But it cost me $8,000 for my family to fly to see my parents in the States.
Wow.
They got all these different levels of airfare.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I could fly real cheap if I wanted to go to Florida in my jeans and winter coat. It's, you got all these extra fees. You got the we bailed out Air Canada fee. We got the we bailed out WestJet fee. We got the COVID fee, all this and that and everything else. And I just think it's a crock of you-know-what that he's saying it's real affordable to fly right now.
Yeah, and, you know, I think your point is well taken, Rick. If you've got a family, if you're moving a family of four, just friends of mine were just looking into a trip in the States, and they're going to make their trip, but they actually decided to drive. Even though it's going to be a couple of days drive, they just felt like the airfare was going to carve into their budget in such a significant way. So, Rick, point well taken. I have time for one more call. Can I grab, Frank's given me the thumbs up, so I'm going to grab the call from Darren, who's on the road, bursting with pride, I understand, today, Darren.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to shout out to the Huskies there. That, you know, the program, I've been following the program since I was a kid, and you know, not to take away from the Riders or anything, but there's nothing better than a guy from Esterhazy doing well, or, you know, local guys that we can actually identify and we know who they are. You know, to make it back to the national championship again, you know, they're the most consistent, best team in Saskatchewan for sure. And please go out and support them on Saturday. It's an amazing program.
I love it. Thanks for the shout out. The game time is 1:00 on Saturday for the Vanier Cup. And we've got University of Saskatchewan Husky fifth year starting running back Riker Frank on the program today at noon for a chat about the anticipation for the big game coming up this weekend. Okay, we'll take our break at the bottom of the hour. Coming back, still only half done. Open lines, more of your thoughts when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
We know that we don't have enough spaces. We all see the need that's out there. So we are working on opening those for individuals. In fairness, an individual that calls around to several different facilities may put their name on more than one wait list. So how do you measure that? We know that there's a very large need for this, and we know that the beds are full. So we know that we need to open more.
That is Minister Lori Carr talking about some of the strategies the province is trying to put in place, working with municipalities when it comes to homelessness, when it comes to dealing with the challenges that we are seeing, and especially just ahead of winter. I mentioned we saw Regina Mayor Chad Baczynski in a meeting with Minister of Social Services Terry Jensen yesterday, where it was announced the province is going to be spending $20 million on programming over the next 3 years. Putting forward some predictable multi-year funding to try and support municipalities, community-led initiatives, creating new bed spaces, for example, at emergency shelters, another $4 million to improve supportive housing and trustee services, 60 new spaces there. So making steps in that direction, this is a wicked problem. We've talked about it many times, and if it is just truly an issue with being homeless, those tend to be the easier ones to solve. It's when there's a myriad of complicated, complex issues like addictions, maybe even mental health, some of those things layered on top that it becomes a bit more murky and not quite as easy to weigh into. Maybe I'm going to go to Ari next, just because I know Ari was wanting to talk about where we're at with shelters. We've talked about this on the program before, and I welcome Ari from Saskatoon back on the program. What are your thoughts here this morning, Ari?
So, Evan, let's play follow the bouncing homeless shelter ball. All right, 2 weeks ago, emergency meeting saying we're going to have this SDC bus shelter available, and in a month, we're going to have this other shelter up and ready to go on Avenue C. Along the same time, just before that, the mayor said, hey, floated on your show this idea of a levy to cover homeless initiatives. Now, the ball bounces. The mayor goes, no, I never actually meant that, but somehow somebody in the city puts it out in a survey. So they spent money on a survey that the mayor now doesn't want, even though she said she wanted it. Then the city council goes, okay, we're going to have this shelter ready on Avenue C in a month. But yesterday they canceled the discussion of a lease because there's apparently problems with the building.
Sorry, which building are you talking about, Ari?
The Avenue C building.
Okay.
The old restaurant next to the Salvation Army. There was supposed to be a lease discussion yesterday. That mysteriously dropped off the agenda. So we don't know what's happening with that. We're also hearing that there's now logistical problems with the STC space on 24th Street. So or is it 23rd? So you play follow the bouncing ball. We're rushing away. We're not getting contractors. The city, by the way, started work on the 24th Street STC bus shelter building before council approved. So this is a complete, it's like throwing a bucket full of bouncy balls into a room and kids are running around trying to find the sparkly one. It's a complete mess. And this is what happens when they panic and they rush and they're trying to get a socially correct initiative done under the gun.
If I remember correctly, Ari, you are of the opinion that that old STC building is the one that they should be using, correct?
I'm of the opinion that it is good enough to get us through the winter. It's, you know, it fulfills the basic needs of getting you out of the cold, feeding you, and making sure that you're safe. Like, everything is there. So why rush? Get it going. It's an absolute basic. There's no wraparound services, but that's not what we need at this point. That's the future need. So let's do it right. I mean, we're there. Last night, anybody who needed could get in there.
Right.
And tomorrow night, the next week, like, when are they going to actually have this lease? So they can't technically do any work on the building till the lease is done.
Right. Well,
coming into the Christmas season, right?
I was going to say, I think it's obviously important that it get done sooner rather than later. Cold weather, obviously, we know there's an urgency there. Safety first. And then your point is well taken. There's a ton of support and wraparound services that are needed and will work in tandem with a shelter. But let's get the shelter established first. They, you know, the city has backed away and I think has done a good job of helping us understand how this notion of a homeless levy unfolded. In fact, we heard Saskatoon City Manager Jeff Jorgensen talk about the fact that, yeah, they put together a survey. They sent out the 2025 Saskatoon Civic Satisfaction and Performance Survey. And in there, they're trying to measure the appetite that residents have for certain things. City Manager Jorgensen said it was my idea to put a question in there to somehow ask the question about what citizens of the city think on the homeless issue and whether or not they'd be willing to direct some of their own money, some of their funds towards it. You know, the bigger question, and this is much broader and bigger than just city administration, is, you know, this survey, it goes out, but does it attract, I think it had 398 people. I was short yesterday. I said 260-some, but it's 398 people committed to doing the survey. Is that a good, accurate cross-representation? When we know, let's be totally honest, when we know that surveys often can have, you know, loaded or weighted results because you'll get one group or one organization or one interest party that will lobby people to say, you got to go to the website and fill out this survey. That happens all the time and can skew results. So you need a broader way to cast the net to get a better idea and understanding of whether or not people are willing to go this way. But the mayor clearly stepped away from it yesterday. She was speaking at, I think it was an NSBA event, and basically said it's not happening immediately.
No intentions of bringing that forward at this time. If and when that became something to consider, there would be a long runway to talk about that.
Okay, so it's not happening in the immediate future. 1-877-332-8255. Less in Corning. You and I have talked about, in fact, I feel like I've talked about on this program so many times, the federal government's attempt at grabbing some guns that they think are going to enhance safety. I know you've got some thoughts on this morning.
Yes, I do, Evan. They thought Nova Scotia was going to be a cakewalk to go in and after all that bad shooting and collect these guns. People would want to turn them in. Well, it turns out they only collected 22 guns on that sign-in. And now the police chief for Cape Breton has turned around, and as of January 1st, he's done. He resigned. And, well, being the brother-in-law of the safety minister, well, he jumped ahead, way ahead of his own police team, and decided to take this on without consulting any of the officers. Well, the officers are now pushing back, and the people are pushing back, and the officers want nothing to do with it.
Les, you could have said it. You could have just said the words, it's a debacle, because that's kind of what's happened out there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And if you think this gun grab is going to go ahead, or anybody thinks, they're sadly mistaken. And now the Taxpayers Federation is suing the government over this, mm-hmm. because where's the money going? I'll bet you by the time they're done with collecting those 22 guns, I'll bet you $700 and whatever million. I'll bet it's gone.
Yeah, and we're hearing that that budget isn't going to grow. We're hearing that the budget is the budget, and that's what they've got to spend. I will say that I was texting with Bob Freeburg, who is the commissioner of our provincial firearms office here in Saskatchewan. There is an announcement coming out of the legislature this next week. I think he said on Tuesday. We're looking to have Bob Freeburg, Commissioner Freeburg, on the program later that week. So we will hear what steps Saskatchewan is taking to try and, I guess, keep this on the track to protect lawful gun owners while making sure that we're compliant with the federal direction, I guess, which up till now, I think the province has really pushed back in a way that we haven't seen a lot of uptake in our province. But there is also this worry about does it then put individual firearm owners offside with the law? Does it criminalize lawful gun owners if they don't comply? So the government has already hinted, and we heard the premier, he was on this program talking about the fact that there's ways that they're going to protect firearm owners against that. So we will hear about that when the announcement is made next week. And again, we will work to have Commissioner Bob Freeburg on the program to talk a little bit further. 1-877-332-8255. We'll take our last break. I know I've still got a few people on the phone line. Don't go away. I'm going to get to as many as I can. And the text lines, this whole notion of manufactured homes is probably what is predominantly focused on the text lines. I'll read a few of your texts when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
If any of us were bad people or horrible role models 364 days of the year, then I'd say we should do better. But personally for me, I thought that was pretty PG, man, the way that we feel. I mean, we want to do everything for this fan base, and we cussed. Sorry, but I hope you accept our apology.
That was Corey Mace, who, of course, yesterday gave that answer to the question that was brought up about the cussing that was happening at Parliament the other day. Sorry, at the Ledge, not Parliament. They didn't go all the way to Ottawa. They stayed in Saskatchewan during the Grey Cup parade. We had such a good chat with Chief Oh, my gosh. Coach Corey Mace. I'm totally rattled. Coach Corey Mace this morning. If you missed the chat with the coach, you can always go back and find it wherever you grab your podcast. But he was a great guest. Okay, one of the things that we have really started an avalanche of texts on this morning is this notion of the city making a change to allow manufactured homes, a bylaw change to allow manufactured homes in all residential areas in the city. A number of people thinking this is a good thing. Jeff in Regina with a text here saying manufactured homes are the only way to catch up on housing. Site-built homes are too big and too expensive in many ways and take way too long to construct. So, you know, Jeff is suggesting some of the areas like North Central Regina where you need a number of infills, this might be a quick and easy solution. Nick in Saskatoon saying the same thing. I went to Eastern Europe where there is urban density and apartments as far as the eye can see. We are spoiled and don't need all of the huge homes we build. Second, it would be great if property values plummeted, as some are worried about. We're in the middle of a cost of living epidemic. Drop those rental and housing costs. Well, Nick, there are people that won't agree with you wanting housing prices to plummet. Bruce in Pilot Butte says people need to get over themselves. I live in an older part of Pilot Butte. My street has everything from big fancy Cape Cod houses and bungalows like mine to double-wide mobile home two houses down the street from me. And that home is one of our best maintained. It's got the nicest yard. The people that live in it are an asset to our neighborhood. Bruce from Pilot Butte goes on to say, sadly, when you've got development handed over to big developers, you end up with a whole bunch of identical houses and no character or diversity in an area. But, you know, that said, I did see, like, John, for example, in Saskatoon said, are you telling me you want to move a mobile home into Briarwood in Saskatoon? Keep in mind, this is a Regina discussion right now. It was Regina Council that made that decision. John's point is there are neighborhoods that will not want this, will not welcome this. And that's why this has become such a lively discussion after council made that decision yesterday. Thanks to everybody who's been weighing in on this. 1-877-332-8255. Larry in Saskatoon, thanks for your patience. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Well, in the news report on C2M, there's a question about a shortage of RCMP officers in the north. And should the Marshals program supplement that? And, of course, what the Marshals program should actually be doing is replacing the RCMP because they can't fill their provincial contract. And they would like to. They asked. Remember when Ron Blackmore asked for officers and, gee, there was none to come to Saskatchewan. But recently we had 100 RCMP officers at a ostrich farm as part of a killing healthy animals. 100 RCMP officers there.
So you're saying it's time to move on from the RCMP?
Well, yeah, and here's one of the kicker, all right? RCMP did a bust of a super lab, I forget, BC or Alberta, I can't remember which, and the FBI requested a sample of the drugs because they had interdicted a drug shipment into the United States and wanted to know if it came from the same lab.
Yep.
The RCMP were not allowed to send a sample for that testing. They were not allowed to. I mean, they had it because they did, right?
Right.
No,
yep.
No, they can't do it.
Who said, who made that decision?
Good question. who's in charge of the drug trafficking here? Is it the federal government? Look, they hired 100,000 new federal employees when Trudeau was in power for 10 years.
99,000. Let's be accurate. 99,000. You're 1,000 over, Larry.
And did you see the this is hilarious. The federal committee had someone from the Border Services immigration, and they're asking him how refugee status is attained here. And all you have to do is show up and you get out your phone and you fill out the application, and automatically you're there. No one interviews you. You don't get, meet any live person who can do any security check or anything else.
Well, they're promising reform, Larry. They are promising reform on that. I don't know how far down the road we are, but Sadly, we've covered a number of topics, Larry, from the start when you were talking about the shortage of RCMP in the north to how you become and get refugee status. But we did it in a minute and a half. So thanks for calling in and thanks for joining the conversation. That's what Open Lines is all about. I apologize to the number of people I didn't get to on the phones, and I will try and read a few more texts throughout the program, but we'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to talk potash and resource royalties when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.